This is Radio Hangar. I'm Taildragger, and tonight on the Hangar, pull up a chair for this one, because this is one of those stories that makes you love aviation. Not because of the airplane, not because of the record, but because of the grin on the pilot's face when he climbed out of the cockpit. Let me take you back to the summer of 1938, July 17th, to be exact. A young mechanic and pilot named Douglas Corrigan taxis his 9-year-old Curtis Robin monoplane onto the runway at Floyd Bennett Field in Brooklyn, New York. He's filed a flight plan for Long Beach, California. The weather's not great. There's an overcast layer hanging over the field, fog rolling in off the Atlantic. The guys at the field wave him off. He pushes the throttle forward, that old right whirlwind radial coughs to life, and the Robin lumbers into the air heading east. Now stop right there. East, his flight plan says California, that's west. But Douglas Corrigan turned that tired little airplane out over the Atlantic Ocean, and he just kept going. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Now, to understand what Corrigan did, you have to understand what Corrigan wanted. See, this kid had been bitten by the transatlantic bug. 5 years earlier, he'd actually worked as a mechanic on the Spirit of St. Louis. He helped build the thing. He watched Lindbergh fly off into history in 1927. And from that moment forward, Douglas Corrigan wanted to fly the Atlantic himself. He applied to the Bureau of Air Commerce. That's what they called it before the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, existed. He applied for permission to make a transatlantic flight. They looked at his airplane, this beat-up 1929 Curtis Robin with patched wings and extra fuel tanks he'd welded in himself, and they said absolutely not too dangerous. The airplane's not airworthy for an ocean crossing. They rejected him. Not once, not twice, multiple times over several years. But they did give him permission to fly cross-country New York to California. So on that foggy July morning, that's exactly what his paperwork said he was doing. Here's where it gets interesting. 28 hours and 13 minutes later, Douglas Corrigan touched down at Baldonnel Aerodrome in Dublin, Ireland. He climbed out of that Curtis Robin, looked at the stunned ground crew, and said, "And I'm not making this up," he said, "just got in from New York. Where am I? I landed in the wrong place." Now imagine the scene. This little single-engine monoplane, fabric peeling, oil streaked across the windscreen, lands in Ireland, and the pilot claims he read his compass backwards. He said the fog was so thick over Floyd Bennett Field that he got turned around, and by the time he broke out of the clouds, he was over the ocean and just figured he'd keep going. Nobody bought it. Not for one second. And that was the beauty of it. Corrigan knew nobody would buy it. The Irish knew. The press knew. The Bureau of Air Commerce officials back in Washington absolutely knew, but Douglas Corrigan stuck to his story with the straightest face you ever saw, and he never once, not for the rest of his life, admitted he did it on purpose. Think about what that flight was actually like. He had no radio. He had no life raft. He had a compass that he later claimed was faulty. The Curtis Robin was cruising at about 90 miles an hour, which means he spent more than a full day over the North Atlantic, in a fabric-covered airplane with a single engine that was already 7 years old when he bought it used. The fuel tanks he'd installed were so big, they blocked most of his forward visibility. He had to look out the side windows to see where he was going. At one point during the flight, he noticed fuel was leaking into the cockpit, pooling around his feet. He used a screwdriver to poke a hole in the floor to drain it out, just poked a hole in the bottom of his airplane over the Atlantic Ocean, watched the gasoline drip out into the clouds below, and kept flying. The cabin was freezing. He had no heater. He was sitting in a puddle of Avigia's fumes at altitude in an open cockpit mentality airplane with fabric walls, no autopilot, hand flying the whole way. When the clouds finally broke and he saw green fields below him, he knew he'd made it. Ireland, the same island that Lindbergh had flown over 11 years before. Now the reaction back home, that's the part that really tells you something about the times. The Bureau of Air Commerce suspended his pilot's license, had to, really. He'd clearly violated his flight plan. But the suspension only lasted 5 days. 5 days. Because by then, Douglas Corrigan was the most famous pilot in America. They gave him a ticker tape parade in New York City. The crowds were enormous. Some reports said the turnout was even bigger than Lindbergh's parade had been. The newspapers had already given him the nickname that would stick for life, Wrong Way Corrigan. And he wore it like a badge of honor. He appeared on radio shows, in a movie. They even gave him a watch with the numbers running backwards. And through all of it, that same straight face, that same story, I must have read my compass wrong. What I love about this story is what it says about the pilot. This was a guy who knew the system would never let him do what he wanted to do. He wasn't wealthy. He didn't have sponsors or a custom-built airplane. He had a 9-year-old Robin with patches on the patches and more determination than common sense. And when the bureaucrats said no, he didn't fight them. He didn't write angry letters. He just filed a flight plan for California, pointed the nose east, and flew to Ireland. Was it reckless?
Absolutely. Would I recommend it? Not in a million years. But there's something in that story that speaks to every pilot who's ever looked at an airplane and thought, I could make it. That little voice in the back of your head that says the machine is ready, I'm ready, and the only thing standing between me and the horizon is a piece of paper. Corrigan lived a long life. He passed away in 1995 at the age of 88, still living in Southern California, still flying. And right up to the very end, whenever someone asked him if he really flew to Ireland on purpose, he'd just smile and say he must have read his compass wrong. His son later said that Corrigan had told the family the truth privately, but made them promise never to reveal it while he was alive. And after he passed, the family confirmed what everybody already knew. Of course he did it on purpose, but you know what? The wink was always better than the confession. The whole world knew, and the whole world played along. Because sometimes a good story is more important than the truth, and sometimes the rogue is the hero. That's the kind of tale you only get in aviation. A broke mechanic with a bad airplane and a dream, sticking it to the system with a grin on his face and a screwdriver in his boot. I pulled tonight's story from a few good sources, including T.P. Wright's account in the Smithsonian Air and Space Archives, and Corrigan's own autobiography. That's my story, which is worth every page. Find us at radiohangar.com. Fly safe out there. And if your compass ever acts up over Brooklyn, well, just keep going.